Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. My buddy, engineer, and producer, John Couch, on the other side of the glass. And together, we are here for you to present an outstanding hour of content over the next, from noon to one. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 12:04, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We get things rolling on Monday afternoon. We do this, have been doing it every show since we began the radio project in January of 2011, our Monday political face-off. With me today in studio, commentators John Munger, Tucson, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and Republican candidate for Arizona governor, Jeff Rogers. Also, by the way, I should add that John is a former chairman of the Arizona Republican Party. Jeff Rogers, well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff and John, how was the weekend? Jeff, an amazing Super Bowl. Amazing because the old guy did it. I mean, he's 43 years old, and Tom Brady looked like a young pup out there.
Well, he sure did. And of course, for us Arizona fans, it's nice to see Rob Gronkowski catch those first two touchdowns. And he had quite a few more catches in the game. So, you know, that duo's been passing to each other for a long time.
Yeah, and John, it was just, it was an amazing, that defense of Tampa Bay.
Incredible defense.
My goodness, chasing Mahomes 20, 30 yards.
And you got to give Mahomes credit. I was talking to you before the show started. The poor guy was scrambling. He played his heart out in that game. I mean, Jeff mentioned, you know, poor guy being tackled and he's getting off passes that are accurate.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he did it without an offensive line.
And they say he's got a toe injury that's going to need surgery immediately. And he played through that pain as well.
Yeah.
So.
And he was getting killed. He got sacked, what, 8 times or something?
Something like that. He's unbelievable.
But he's certainly got a really good future ahead of him.
And one of the icons of the boxing world, Leon Sphinx, died over the weekend. He was 67. He died of prostate cancer. One of the highlights of my 50-plus year career, I was ringside for NBC.
Oh, really?
NBC Radio News, had a phone right there at the table ringside for. We were talking a little bit about this before the show, the Ali Sphinx fight and the upset of Sphinx in February 5th.
Leon Sphinx.
That was one of the biggest sports upsets really in history on February 15th, your birthday.
I remember
1978 at the Hilton Hotel.
It was my 22nd birthday, and a bunch of friends of mine in Bloomington, where I was attending Indiana University, took me out to the Holiday Inn, which had a hotel and bar, and they had the game on there. It wasn't on regular television.
No.
And so
Ali had won 55 fights going into that.
Yeah, but Ali was old at that point.
Well, he was kind of getting there.
Well, I mean, Ali was fighting when I was in high school in 1964 and 65.
This was
78 when Spinks beat him.
Spinks was 24 at the time, and I don't know. Ali had to be in his
40s.
Well, maybe late 30s. Yeah, late 30s.
I think he just didn't take him seriously.
No.
Wasn't prepared.
Was that whole week, everybody was saying, why are we even doing this? I mean, it's such a mismatch. And it went to a decision. I think it was a 2-1.
Split decision.
Yeah, split decision and 12 rounds. And it was a brutal fight. I mean, every round was just a brawler.
And even the rematch months later was in New Orleans.
Yeah, at the Superdome. But anyway. That was certainly a highlight of my career, being there for that night. Never forget it. Okay, we have President Biden with the package, the COVID relief package, which is now up to about $2 trillion. Jeff, who wins politically on this deal?
Well, I think the Democrats do. The Republicans and some of the more moderate Democrats have one good point, and that is maybe we should lower the threshold of people who actually receive this $1,400 check. Biden's not going to change the amount of the check because it was he promised that it would be a $2,000 check with the $600 coming in December as a down payment. And I think that the Democrats learned a big lesson in 2009 is that, you know, if you basically wait and wait and wait for the Republicans to get on board, you're going to end up with something that's not big enough and powerful enough to really have the economic effects that you want it to do. And that's why the recovery started off in 2009 at a weak pace, because the Republicans wouldn't get on board for the kind of package, stimulus package, that we really needed to get us out of that great recession. And so I think the Democrats are wise to just say, look, we had hoped you'd get on board here, but if you won't, we'll do it without you. And I think that's where we're at right now. And I think that politically, I don't think that the voters really care about whether it comes through the reconciliation process or whether it gets 60 votes in the Senate. I mean, that's the kind of minutia that politicians and lawyers and the press like to focus on. I don't think that the public gives a care at all about
they
that.
Just want a
and like I said, there is one good point that, you know, maybe families over $100,000 in income and maybe individuals over $50,000 ought to get smaller and smaller and eventually none.
Smaller increments.
Yeah, incrementally lose that. But because, you know, studies show economically that these people that are going to get it making less than those threshold amounts are going to spend it immediately. Mm-hmm. They're going to pay down back rent, back mortgages. They're going to immediately spend it on food and other necessities, and that money is going to take care of the economy. And we got to go back and remember, the Republicans a year ago, a little less than a year ago, were all on board for pumping up the economy when they thought it would help Trump remain president, and to some extent it did. If the economy had been even worse at the time, it wouldn't have even been a close election.
John, do you like anything about the package?
Well, I agree with Jeff that we ought to have these $1,400 checks for people based upon need, not everybody getting a check. I don't need a check. Jeff doesn't need a check. You don't need a check. And I agree with that. The problem with this bill is twofold. It's $2 trillion. And it contains a lot of things that are way beyond what is needed for these for people to get their $1,400 check. It contains things like bailouts of profligate states who spend money and now want us to bail out those states like California, New York, and Illinois. They want us to bail them out. It contains all kinds of other things that are not part of COVID relief to people. They are reliefs to blue state Democrat governments. That is not what the first COVID relief thing was. The first COVID relief bill was targeted towards individuals. What the Democrats have done here is throw in a bunch of other things, bailing out blue states, governments that have gone into debt and now want the federal government, you and I, to pay it off, and other things. There's still $600 billion left of the first COVID relief bill that hasn't even been paid out yet. So let's pay out the $600 billion. Let's target new relief, and let's calculate that into these numbers. Let's target this out for people who are really in need, and let's do a true COVID relief bill, not a bailout for states and governments and teachers unions for political benefits for the Democrats. Now, there's a third problem, and the Republicans have offered a bill to do that. The problem with $2 trillion is this economy, despite what people think, if you look at it, is fairly strong given where we are. I said, given where we are. And I am very concerned with all the money that's been pumped in to this economy. We are going to end up with inflation. And right. I predict that if we have a $2 trillion bill, as the Democrats are talking about, we're going to end up with inflation over the next couple years.
Jeff, you'll be up to the plate after the break talking about what about a spike in inflation. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Since 1985, this family-owned business has been there for you. Art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services. They're doing e-commerce now, the newly redesigned website looks terrific. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I was, again, really had an urge for one of those cinnamon rolls and posted on Facebook. You saw the post, and there was a lot of folks that jumped in. Mona's has a huge following. Yeah. A lot of people jumped in on Facebook and were talking about they were kind of reminded them of Mona's cinnamon roll. A lot of people go there for the Danish Kringle, but some were headed there right away after they saw my post that I needed some comfort food and I needed one of those cinnamon rolls up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Have you tried one yet, Jeff?
I've had one of those up there. Yeah. You know, when I'm on my weekend warrior projects around the house, I end up at the hardware store up there at that
right.
corner.
Right, Ace is right, and just a few steps away from Mona's.
Yeah, I get that close to Mona's, yes. I can't help but walk those yes. few steps over to get one.
There those Kringles are to
oh,
die
they
for.
Are. The Kringles are oh, outstanding. Goodness. So everybody agreed on Facebook that Mona's Danish Bakery is a great place to go for some comfort food. They're open right now for lunch. And northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with our Monday political face-off.
Small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. all of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is our Monday political face-off in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, have 13 acres of amazing plants. And, of course, Zocalo Village with all that beautiful handcrafted, much of it handcrafted furniture from really all over the world, specifically focusing on Latin America. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and our title sponsor for the Monday Political Face-Off, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers and John Munger. Jeff Rogers seated to my left, John to my right. And Jeff, why don't we begin with John talking about his, one of his worries is this package, nearly $3 trillion, is going to really fuel up inflation, which has been very dormant for
many years. It's $1.9 trillion.
$1.9 trillion.
During March through June of last year, when Trump was president, we passed $3 trillion in stimulus funding, and I didn't hear any Republicans talking about inflation back then. I studied economics at Indiana University during the period of 74 to 79.
The Carter period was the exact period of what
we then called stagflation, where we had a stagnant economy and inflation at the same time, which had never occurred before. It was a unique set of circumstance and hasn't occurred again, I might add. And I'm not the least bit worried about inflation. Irrational exuberance that I see in any markets right now are real estate. And in real estate right now, it's really more of a lack of supply than anything else driving the prices so high. But I'm not the least bit concerned about inflation here. This, you know, we need to pick up this economy. People like John and I and maybe Bill are doing just fine, and the people who have a lot of stocks, like one of my brothers does, are doing really well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people in the middle and at the bottom of the economic scale are doing worse and worse and worse than they've done and even since the last great recession. So I'm not the least bit worried about it, and I think this economy needs a kick in the pants, and it will hit the economy at just exactly the right time, I believe, when people are going to be able to start going back to work as we get more and more people vaccinated, and start this economy, the service economy, gets back on its feet.
Is this appealing, John, this $1.9 trillion package to people that perhaps voted for Donald Trump? Is this a bid by the Biden administration to go after some of those people?
Well, he may be bidding to go after them, but he's not going to get them. This won't do it. What he should be doing is spending the $600 billion that's left over off of the first stimulus package, which I again point out to you was targeted solely at individuals.
And that has not been spent yet.
$600 billion hasn't been spent yet. And now they're talking about adding another $1.9 trillion in addition to the $600 billion and spending all of that all at one time. But we only need, and this is what the Republican bill is, for the stimulus package, the $1,400 targeted checks to people who need it, only costs about $600 billion, incidentally. And that's what the Republican bill is. The rest of this $1.9 trillion is all for government bailouts to the teachers' unions.
Now, teachers' unions receive no money in this, John. That's absolutely untrue.
No, that is not true. It meets the teachers' unions' requirements for government spending more money in the schools, et cetera, which is not COVID relief. And so this is bowing to the teachers' union's demands and government payouts to from the federal government to California, New York, and other states that haven't been able to manage their budgets over the years. And now they want to be bailed out. The old Democratic phrase, don't let a crisis go to waste. They're trying to get bailed out as a result of this. To pay out, I want to make it clear to your listeners, to pay out checks to individuals on based on need, you need about $600 billion. And that's what the Republican bill is about. The rest of this is all just government payouts to other state, local governments, et cetera.
Actually, that's not true.
Well, that is true.
$400 a week is going to go to unemployment insurance benefits to particularly helpful in states like Arizona, which have one of the lowest unemployment insurance payouts per week of any state in America. And that will last through September under the plan of the Democrats. The Republicans wanted to cut that back until June and wanted to limit it to $300. So there's that money aside. That's not just the individual
payments. That's nickels and dimes.
And then on top of that, we're not just talking about California and New York and blue states. We're talking about local and state governments across this nation have taken a huge hit because of tax revenues have decreased. And this is happening from South Dakota to North Dakota to Kansas to New York to California to Florida. All around the country, state and local governments have taken a huge hit. And so this would help them backfill some of that and to do it legally without, unlike Mr. Ducey, our governor here, who's basically been using these CARES Act money to pump up the general fund and is not properly using all these funds, as the Democrats have pointed out, and he may be in some legal trouble because of that. So there are a lot of other things that this money is going to go for that will help prop up this economy at a pivotal moment before we decline into another great recession. So this is going to be helpful to a lot of people.
Prop up governments that overspend.
It will prop up.
The great bulk of the money.
I will remind you, California had one of the greatest surpluses ever when this pandemic hit. So we're not talking about states that were reckless in their spending. We're talking about states and localities across the land, red and blue, that are suffering from this pandemic and the crisis it's caused.
California may have had an annual surplus, but their debt is in the hundreds of billions of dollars, and they don't have any way to pay it off. And that's what they're doing. They have pension plans they can't. Same with Illinois. Pension plans they can't fund. Other things they can't fund, and they have long-term commitments that they can't pay off. They're in debt, and this will help them pay that off because they've been profligate in their spending all these years. That's what this is about.
That's been a Republican myth for decades.
No, that's true. That's a true statement. You look at Illinois for just the primary example, Illinois and California have pension funds they can't fund, and they want the government, they want you and I to bail them out. You also get into questions about that go into this bill about paying off student debt for people that have incurred debt for, and now they want the government to pay it.
I don't think there's anything in this bill.
Well, I don't know.
Debt.
That may be a separate bill. You may be right about that.
There's nothing in this
bill
about student
debt. But that's what the Democrats
debt.
Are doing. It's spending one thing after another and pumping money into the economy when we still haven't spent $600 billion. And all we need to pay these $1,400 checks is $600 billion gets everybody who's in need on a targeted basis paid their $1,400. That's all we need. The rest of it is just pork.
You're saying the rest is window dressing.
It's all pork.
Hmm. Isn't there a room for compromise here? I mean, that's a huge difference. $1.9 trillion and $600 billion.
To his credit, Biden has said, you either get on board or we'll do it without you. I mean, that's basically where we're at. And that was part of the problem in 2009, is that Obama wasn't willing to do it alone through the budget reconciliation process. He really wanted to get the Republicans involved. He wanted, and he paid the price for it in the weak recovery in the early years of that recovery. Now, it picked up steam later, and by the time Trump inherited it, the economy was booming.
Oh,
and to his credit,
booming.
To, and to his credit, credit.
Give me a
to his
break.
Credit, he didn't destroy it until he lied to America about the coronavirus.
The corporate economy was booming.
That's when Trump completely destroyed the economy.
Main Street was dying. We had some of the greatest income inequality in this country by the time Obama left office. By the time
It's far greater now.
No,
than
well,
it was then.
It
far,
wasn't.
Far
it wasn't.
Now.
It wasn't when Trump. Under Trump's
because
economy
it's been the
until
people in the middle
until,
and lower.
No, Jeff, let me finish.
Got to wrap it up.
It wasn't that way when Trump finished up in February before COVID hit. We had created the lowest unemployment rate for blacks, Hispanics, women, everybody. Wages were rising faster proportionally for the underclasses than they were for the wealthier classes under Trump. Inequality was going by the wayside. And incidentally, the worst state in the country for income inequality is California, a boom state.
All right, John Munger and Jeff Rogers, thank you both very much. Have a great week. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Check it out. Their newly revamped website, looking real good, doing e-commerce. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, February the 8th, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our monthly scam alert presented by, I think, one of the finest Better Business Bureaus in the United States, the one right here in Tucson. The team over there, led by Pam Krim and Sean Herdrick, who's with me in studio, Sean, Director of Marketing Communications. They do a very, very good job. Not only a good job, but a great job. These are very conscientious people. Sean, good to see you again, my friend.
Absolutely. It's great to be here. Great to see you, Bill.
One of the most beautiful weekends, weather-wise, in a long time. I mean, it was picture perfect.
Absolutely.
Great weekend. Sean, with the increase in unemployment payouts now up to $540 per week, are you seeing any types of scams involving unemployment and benefits?
You know, absolutely we are. Even the BBB itself has seen over 10 false reports of employees filing for unemployment benefits. And one of those people was me.
Oh, boy.
I was alerted that I had applied for benefits by our HR director, and I had not. But it turns out that someone was using my personal information to falsely apply for those benefits. And with the new rules in place, the unemployment benefits are starting to get paid out immediately because of COVID. And they don't have the usual checks or balances in place. Eventually, the false claims are recognized, but it could take weeks to stop, like, the automatic payments. And we've heard many other companies that are starting to receive these claims also. And it's really disconcerting to know that someone has my Social Security information. And we're really hoping to warn others of this not-so-new scam.
That is really frightening. What happens to people that are like maybe retired people or something that aren't associated with a company, like you had an HR person that notified you, and mm-hmm. who's going to notify those people? That's what really sounds scary in addition to me. You have any idea what would happen? I mean, how would you know?
You wouldn't.
Would a credit reporting service help?
It would help if you put an alert
on your
credit services.
Did
for
you
sure.
do that for sure?
I did. Uh-huh.
What other things did you do, Sean?
Well, the other things I did is I went to the AZDES, Department of Economic Security, and I filed a fraud report with them, informing them that I had been taken advantage of. And I also went to the Attorney General's office, but I did recently hear from them, and they said they're transferring all of that to the DES. So make sure you file that. And again, always go to your credit reporting agency. There's three of them. If you file an alert with one, it'll file with all of them. And that way you can kind of keep an eye on if anyone's stealing your information and trying to get money.
This is like a new wrinkle in the tax season. I mean, it's usually we get tax scams when we get into January and February for the IRS, you know, the filing season. So we should probably talk about tax scams.
No, absolutely. And with the coronavirus, it's still in full swing, and the stimulus payments going out, scammers are really taking advantage of that confusion that many people are having regarding how to file in this very different year. We're seeing phone calls, text messages, emails asking for personal identifiable information, and classic phishing scams trying to get your information and to steal your refund. We're also seeing the scammers posing as official government agents asking for personal financial information and saying that the payments and processing fees are necessary to distribute grants and refunds.
I've gotten some of those calls. I think everybody does. Mm-hmm. That they're saying that you're in trouble with the IRS, basically. I mean, that's what they're trying to scare you into taking some kind of action. But what do you do if you think you are being scammed, Sean?
You know, we always recommend to look for the common red flags with all of these. It's The IRS contacts taxpayers by mail. It'll never call you. The IRS doesn't leave a pre-recorded urgent or threatening voicemail.
That this is agent such and such.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
And they also, they'll never initiate contact through an email or request any type of personal or financial information. So if you get that, don't reply to the message. Don't open any attachments. Don't click on any links. And always make sure that the IRS's website is irs.gov. A lot of them will put .com, .org, whatever, trying to fool you, thinking that there's someone else.
Are they even going into the text messaging as well?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. And you know, there's even been reports of social media people, you know, getting direct messages on social media from the IRS.
Oh, through their messaging service on social media, as if the IRS would go to the... to Facebook and then send you, this is your friendly IRS agent getting a message to you on Facebook. You need to call us right away.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I mean, they're using everything possible.
And these stimulus payments, this has caused all sorts of confusion, Sean.
Oh, absolutely. And the scammers are out there and they're taking full advantage of that confusion by claiming that you need to pay for a stimulus check to get
what?
It. To provide your personal information to receive it. They already have your personal information. You don't need to go any further.
I mean, to get a check, you've got to give them information.
Yeah. Yeah. Or pay them, you know, with a gift card or something like that. And according to our reports, you know, we watch out for the email or text messages saying request benefit payments. The link will take you to an application. And again, they're just really trying to get your information to steal it and try to get, you know, either use it for tax refunds or anything like that. And sometimes even on a phone, the scammer pretends to be calling from a government agency. And the con artist insists that you need to pay money or confirm your personal information before you can receive your stimulus checks. And other times, scammers claim you can get additional money or even receive your funds immediately. And all you need to do is pay a small processing fee.
Oh, to get an extra piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Give a small processing fee to maybe get a little extra money coming your way.
That's exactly right.
It's just hard to believe that they would think, for them to think there would be people that would, you know, that would fall for this. But they do.
Absolutely, they do. And it's just, you know, with all of the confusion surrounding the stimulus, I mean, no one really knows exactly what's going on.
What should consumers do if they think they're being scammed? Your BBB.org is a great place to start, isn't it?
Absolutely. I recommend going to the BBB.org/scam tracker. And this is one of the best ways to inform others that scams are going around and even find out if you may be dealing with a scam. We know that it's embarrassing to admit that maybe you fell for something like these scams, but that experience, I mean, you can help so many others and maybe prevent them from falling for a similar one.
These robocalls, Sean Herdrick, have become incredibly sophisticated. It's a recorded message, but it will say, "How are you today?" or something.
Yeah.
And it's like they want to start the process going on a recorded message.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, I made the mistake of answering one the other day, and after I hung up, they called me back. In the next 6 hours, they must have called me 15 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they knew someone answered it.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll just say, I'm looking for Mr. Buckmaster, and before I say the word, yeah, I'm very careful now not to even say the word yes.
That's true.
It's like I'm going to say, well, who wants to know or who's actually calling? Because I don't think it's a good idea if you're being recorded to say that word yes.
So no.
Just a little bit of a tip there.
Oh, certainly not.
Am I on to something there,
absolutely
Sean?
You are. They can use that recording in other types of things, like if you go to your bank account online or things like that.
Yes. Yep. So a little piece of advice there. Sean Herdrick, thank you very much. Sean, Director of Marketing Communication, with our monthly Scam Alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. And again, Sean, it's bbb.org/scam tracker.
That is correct.
And even if you don't put in Scam Tracker, if you just even Google BBB Tucson, you guys are going to come up.
Absolutely.
All right, Sean, thank you very much. Have a great week.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, it's the Buckmaster Show. In the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, we'll be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of our program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, who are standing by and ready to welcome you once the time is right back to the land of enchantment, just a 3-hour drive to Silver City from Tucson, and so much to do. And so many great places to stay. The day is coming when we'll be able to get in the car and comfortably drive over to places like Silver City and enjoy ourselves. SouthwestNewMexico.org. That is the website to start your planning for your trip to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes is the CEO and director of the Tucson, Arizona Planetary Science Institute, which for nearly 50 years, coming up now in a half century, has been involved in it's a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. And Dr. Sykes is with us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Mark, how are you?
Great. Good to see you, Bill, or hear you.
Yeah, good to hear you, and hopefully the day is coming very soon. We'll be able to bring you back to the studio. Some breaking news, as they say, from your organization, from PSI. The water ice resources identified in the Martian Northern Hemisphere. And Mark, this this sounds like it could really benefit future human explorers to the Red Planet.
Yes, we have a group of people who are the SWIM team. that's subsurface water ice mapping on Mars. And so they have swim meets and all that. They've used data from various spacecraft together to determine, well, just how far down at lower latitudes does this ice extend under the surface of Mars. We see the ice caps at the poles, but there is a lot more ice under the soil of the surface, from centimeters to meters, kilometers on down. And by combining radar and surface observations where there's been recent impacts, excavating some of the subsurface, revealing some of the ice, and then that evaporates. But piecing all this stuff together, they have really mapped out an extensive area of subsurface ice. And when it comes to human exploration, you need that ice for fuel to get back to Earth for life support. It's fundamental. So they're doing an important job.
And so finding the ice at the lower latitudes would be an advantage for the teams that will eventually land on Mars. They may, if it's readily available in more places, Mark Sykes, that is an advantage, obviously.
Yeah, and right now they've done it at kind of low resolution. And so once we get closer to actually wanting to put people down on the surface, then they will look at proposed areas at higher resolution to say, well, you want to be over at this base, or you want to be 5 kilometers over there.
And then taking all the fuel you need for the round trip to Mars is basically not feasible. And as a result, pretty much every mission concept study from the last 30 years considers exploiting the Martian environment for fuel, correct?
Well, yes, and considering that cost goes as about the cube of the mass, that if you have to take as much fuel as you got there to and have it in orbit to get back to Earth, but you had to take it off from the surface of the Earth, that's like almost a factor of 10 increase in cost, which just makes it ridiculous.
Mark, I want to touch on the differences between where we are with the Chinese and the American space programs at this point. Mm-hmm. What has been the big difference, Dr. Mark Sykes?
Well, you know, I've been over to China several times now and have met with the young engineers and people that are building their spacecraft. And I have to say they are deservedly very excited about what they have been able to accomplish in the last decade or so. They have made some great technical achievements. In terms of sending spacecraft to orbit and map out the moon, which we've done with LRO. They've done a similar resolution on their Chang'e 3, but then Chang'e 3 went off and explored a Lagrange point. It's a gravity place where you could put future satellites, and then went and flew by the near-Earth asteroid Itokawa. So we could actually compare their images with radar maps that had been developed, you know, a couple of decades earlier. And then they've landed on the far side of the moon, which is something that we haven't done, and deployed a rover there. And now they're taking on a big challenge with their Mars mission, in which they're sending an orbiter that will then deploy a lander down to the surface of Mars, and it has a rover on it.
Wow.
And now our Perseverance spacecraft is modeled on the Mars exploration or Mars, the current big Mars rover on the surface that did the 7 minutes of terror, because it went from Earth and it went through the Mars atmosphere right down to the surface using the space crane and all that. And so we've never tried to put it in orbit and then bring it down from orbit. And this is what the Chinese are doing. So if they accomplish all that, it'll be a great technical achievement.
So is the, so, is the
really
Chinese
themselves.
Mark, is the Chinese program is it ahead of our program in terms of putting a human on Mars, or in other words, I think, is there a space race to get to Mars?
Not to Mars, but they are planning on going to the moon, and I think that in having talked with people over there, that the idea is, you know, we're really only committed to going down and once. You know, Bridenstine said this in front of Congress, the former NASA administrator. And but there's, of course, always talk and stuff about more missions and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the Apollo program is supposed to go on for a very long time as well. And but the Chinese are planning to establish a base on the moon and permanently inhabit it. And so now, to make that happen, to make that practical, then there's a lot of important things that you need to do to defray costs, such as not launch up all your fuel from the surface of the Earth, find resources on the moon that you could use that you don't have to bring up from the surface of the Earth. And they're doing that. They've got a plan. For a, I don't know if they've actually announced this yet, but they have a plan to search for near-Earth objects, just like the U of A NEOCAM mission, which hopefully will launch sometime in the next few years or several years, because near-Earth asteroids come by the Earth and they represent fuel sources. You know, about half of them have water that can be extracted from them,
and
we use that for fuel.
And we keep getting what they call clickbait on the internet. You keep seeing very often. It's like I don't think a week goes by that this particular asteroid, the size of the Chrysler Building in New York, is just about is going to give us a close call. And you know, it gets to the point. It's almost like a Chicken Little thing that people saying, "Oh, that's ridiculous."
Yeah, and the problem is that we look at these things, and that's the context within the we're looking at them as just, oh, it could hit us, you know, get an umbrella, you know, we don't look at them as, oh, well, I mean, we do look at them as potential resources, but we have no plan, we have no commitment to be doing any project where those resources would advantage us. And we're in a really good position. You know, China has developed some wonderful technological expertise. I mean, their accomplishments have been and I expect will continue to be very impressive. But we've got a much deeper science bench, and that's something that is like it takes a generation or two to build.
All right,
we've been doing this for 50 years.
Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure, the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. I suggest becoming a member. I'm a member. Go to psi.edu. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. That's going to do it for Buckmaster. The Monday edition is now hit the atmosphere and is on its way to Mars or somewhere, who knows where, to an asteroid. Hope you have a great afternoon. On behalf of my engineer producer, John Couch, we've got Dave Ramsey and his very popular show on money. Have a great afternoon.